Will you please turn to the Gospel according to John? John chapter 14. We'll read for verse 15 to 21. John 14. 15 to 21. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will beg the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, nor know him. But ye know him, for he abides with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. Yet a little, and the world sees me no longer. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. In that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my commandment and keeps them, he it is that loves me. But he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then the same chapter, verse 26. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and will bring to your remembrance all the things which I have said to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee for Thy immense love for us. Thou hast given Thyself to us in such a way that Thou alone can do it. We thank Thee for saving us. We thank Thee for saving us to the uttermost. We thank Thee because Thou, today in heaven, is interceding for us in order to deliver us completely. We thank Thee for Thy immense love for us. And as we are studying Thy Word together, we pray that Thy Spirit will breathe upon Thy Word and make it living. Speak to each one of us and draw us into what Thou hast provided for us, that we may glorify Your name. We ask in Thy name. Amen. We know that in the Gospel according to John, from chapter 13 to chapter 17, this is a very special section, because it is the last word of our Lord to his disciples before his crucifixion. We have a Chinese proverb. It says, when a person is dying, his words are good. Why? Because he knows he is going to meet his Maker. And here we find the dying words of our Lord Jesus before crucifixion. So these chapters are very precious. Our brother, Jerry Amon, mentioned something about chapter 13. So I'm not going to repeat it. I will only emphasize that during that Last Supper, our Lord Jesus gave us a new commandment. We know the old commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then the next to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the old commandment. But the Lord Jesus gave us a new commandment. And what is this new commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. Can we tell how much the Lord loves us? And the Lord said, likewise, love one another as I have loved you. So this is the new commandment. Now this morning, I would like to go into chapter 14. There our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, do not be sorrowful, because the disciples knew that our Lord was leaving them. And naturally, they were very sorrowful. Why? Because for 3 years, they have followed the Lord. And the Lord took care of them in everything. And now the Lord was leaving them. So no wonder they were very sorrowful. But our Lord said, do not be sorrowful, for I'm going to prepare a place for you. There are many mansions in my Father's house, and I'm prepared for your mansion. This recalls me of my family. My grandfather was a builder. He built a huge house because he wanted the whole family to live together. So, from my childhood, I live in a big house. Each family had an apartment. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. That doesn't mean he's going to prepare for each and every one of us a different mansion. It is one house with many mansions. And how did the Lord prepare us for that mansion. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. So our Lord Jesus said he is going, but he is sending the Spirit of God to us as another comforter. A comforter is one who is always alongside you, giving you help in everything. When our Lord was with them, he was their comforter. He took care of them. But now he's leaving. Yet, he said, I'm sending another comforter to you. Another of the same kind. But there is a difference. When I was with you, I could be only alongside with you. But when the other comforter comes, he will be in you, and therefore he will always be with you. Brothers and sisters, this promise of another comforter was a tremendous promise. For this is the only way that he will prepare mansions for us. So this morning, we would like to review something about this another comforter. There is a difference between our Lord as our comforter and the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Because with the Lord, while he was on earth, he could only be with the disciples, alongside them. But sometimes they separated. But here he promised another comforter that is many more better. Why? Because that comforter dwells in us. Therefore, he will never leave us at any time. Not alongside us, but inside us. Brothers and sisters, this is a tremendous promise. And this promise was fulfilled on the day of his resurrection. Because when you turn to chapter 20 of John, you find that when the disciples were in the house, the door was shut. But our Lord appeared to them. And he said, and he breathed into them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, when was this promise of another comforter come to the disciples? It was to them on the day of his resurrection. Some people took this as only symbolic, but I believe it is not. It is real. When the Lord breathed into them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, they did. They received the Holy Spirit when Christ was resurrected. How do we know? Because unless they have received the indwelled Holy Spirit, how could 120 different individuals meeting together for 10 days, praying together with one accord, without the indwelled Holy Spirit, this could never be done. But thank God, they have received the indwelled Holy Spirit. Therefore, they were able to come together and pray together for 10 days before the Lord. But so far as we are concerned, when did we receive the indwelled Holy Spirit? Our experience was not like the 12 disciples. Our experience was like the 3,000 who were saved on the day of Pentecost. Because when they believe in the Lord Jesus, they not only receive eternal life, they receive the indwelled Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, the Lord did a lot to us. He not only forgave our sins, but He also renewed our dead spirit. And with the renewing of the dead spirit, He Himself, in the Spirit, came and dwelled within us. So, dear brothers and sisters, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, what did you receive at that time? You received not only forgiveness of sins, which is negative, but your spirit, their spirit, was renewed into life. That is positive. And into that new spirit, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled in us. So, brothers and sisters, I hope everyone is clear. We who have believed in the Lord Jesus, we have a new spirit. We have Christ as the life of that new spirit. And we have the indwelled Holy Spirit who is there to take care of that life, to see that that life of Christ in us will grow into maturity. This is the way the Lord is preparing us for our mansions in that big house of God. So, brothers and sisters, it is very important for every one of us, if we want to grow in the life of the Lord within us, this is the only way. And the way is, we need to cooperate with the indwelled Holy Spirit. I believe If we look into our own spiritual experience, immediately after you believe in the Lord Jesus, you discover something that you have never experienced before. And that is, in your daily life, don't think of big things. Think of small things. In your daily life, you experience something you have never experienced before. Why? Because you discover there is something or someone within you who is advising you of the way that you should live. How could we live our Christian life? Not by our own effort only. Probably we have done that. After we believe in the Lord Jesus, we try very hard to be a good Christian. And are you tired of it? But thank God, He had made provision for every one of us. All you need to do is to cooperate with the indwelled Holy Spirit. Now, when I was with the young people before, when I talked to them in this way, they will tell me, how do I know that I have the indwelled Holy Spirit? You know. Because before you believe in the Lord Jesus, you decided what to do, where to go. But after you have believed in the Lord Jesus, when you are doing something, or when you are going somewhere, or even when you are thinking of something, do you discover that there is someone within you saying either yes or no? Don't think of big things. Think of your daily life, small things. Some places that you used to go before you believe in the Lord Jesus, after you have believed in the Lord, you went to the same place as usual. But to some places, when you went, you felt there was someone speaking within you. You are now a believer. Do you think it is right for you to go there? Or suppose you like to boast. When you boasted, you felt good. That's the way you usually spoke. But after you have believed in the Lord Jesus, you continue to do that. Try it. And when you were boasting, saying something beyond what was real, you felt there was a check within you. Now the problem is, usually the check is not very strong all impulsive, very soft and tender. And that's the reason why we often neglect it. But suppose you neglect it, and you continue to boast. Now, formerly, after you boast, you feel good about it. But this time, when you are boasting, you begin to feel bad about it. Somehow, you find that you cannot pray anymore. And when the evening came, and you tried to have your evening prayer, you find your prayer was somehow hindered. Unless you confess before the Lord. Then you find peace. Now, brothers and sisters, these are small things, but life is composed mostly of small things. Now, of course, I know if you meet any big things, you will certainly pray, because you feel that you have to seek the Lord and know what His will is. But in small things, in things that you have done all the time, of course you will just go ahead and do it. But do you see the difference here? When you did it before you were saved, it seemed to be fine. But after you are saved, if you say the same boasting words, what did you feel? Somehow, someone within you is telling you, this is not true. A Christian shouldn't do that. And brothers and sisters, this is a sign to us that we are saved, that we have the indwelled Holy Spirit, and He is there teaching us in all things. He is within us with only one purpose. And the purpose is to see that the life of Christ in us will grow into maturity. This is the growth of Christians. How can we Christians grow up spiritually? Not mentally only. But really, your spiritual life begins to grow. Now, how does it happen? It happens when you are listening, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So in our Christian life, we need to have time of quietness. Because otherwise, you won't be able to hear the still, small voice. You remember Elijah? How he fled to Mount Sinai, and the Lord came to him. It was not in a storm. It was not in the wind. It was not in the earthquake. But it was a still, small voice. And that's the way the Lord is dealing with us. So, dear brothers and sisters, Do not be complacent. Do not be careless. If you want to grow in your Christian life, if you want to see that the life of Christ in you is growing, then you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we think that if it's big things, we need to pray. Small things, we can take care of ourselves. But the Bible tells us the anointing that is the indwelled Holy Spirit, He is like an ointment. When you apply an ointment, you just feel a very smooth feeling. It is not something big, but it is a smooth, pleasant feeling within you. And that is the way the Holy Spirit works in you. And He will teach you in all things. He will remind you of what the Lord has said. He will bring to your remembrance all that the Lord has spoken to you. And this is the only way for your spiritual growth. Oftentimes we neglect the indwelled Holy Spirit. We thought that spiritual growth is you collect more Bible knowledge. But that is not so. The only spiritual growth is by listening, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, you abide in Christ. I remember once I asked a group of young people, how do you abide in Christ? And they have many answers. Some said, you have to read the Bible more. Others say you have to pray more. Others say you have to attend the meetings more. My brothers and sisters, these are not the answers. If you read 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, you will find the secret of it. He says the unction, that is the anointing, that is the indwelled Holy Spirit, will teach you in all things, big things and small things. And you will listen to the teaching of the anointing. You abide in Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, it is not in something big that your spiritual life will grow. It is in your daily life as you listening to the indwelled Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, it is not unnatural at all. It is spiritually natural. Oftentimes we make our spiritual life unnatural. Because when you are becoming unnatural, that everything is man-made. We ought to be spiritually natural. what you need to do is, in the early morning, you have to have a good time with the Lord. You present yourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. You commit yourself to Him for the day. And if you have done that, and with that kind of spirit, you go into the world. Whenever there is something that does not agree with the Lord, there within your spirit, you will hear a still, small voice. And that is the way for your Christian growth. So here you find our Lord Jesus said, the Comforter will remind you of what I have said to you. The Comforter will teach you in all things. We thank God for our Lord Jesus is praying for us, making intercession for us unceasingly in heaven. And what is the result of His unceasing prayer for us? The result is the indwelt Holy Spirit is working unceasingly in us. So I hope young people will remember especially, there is no other way for your spiritual growth, except you cooperate with the indwelled Holy Spirit. And He's working in us. Is so gentle. He will not at the very beginning deal with you in big things because He knows that you are not able to cope with it. Usually He will begin with you in small things. The place you go, the word you speak, but gradually you find He will go deeper and deeper. Not only in your outward things, I remember long ago, in the beginning of my time with Brother Ni in Shanghai, there was a time when the Lord was dealing with the sisters, especially their closings. And many sisters began to be aware of their closing. They began to be aware that they were not clothed godlily. And how these sisters dealt with this matter. But these are awkward things. That's the beginning. As the dealing of the Lord grows deeper, He begins to deal with your thoughts. Sometimes we are careless with our thoughts. But we know that if we think, that's what we are. We will be what we are thinking. So our thoughts need to be dealt with. And this is something that is beyond us. But thank God it is not beyond Him. Because His indwelled Holy Spirit will take care of our thought. Sometimes you think, and you continue to think that way, that will be what you are later on. But of course, we can overdo it something. I remember when I was dealing with my life, I was in college already. I went to the school, got the discipline, the book of discipline, and looked into it and tried to find if I have violated any of the school rules. Even when I was walking in the school, should I walk through the grass? Everybody was doing it. But when I was doing it, I felt uneasy about it. And I got so worked up that I had no rest day and night. So finally, I consulted an elderly sister, Ruth Lee. She helped me a lot. I told her about my situation. I didn't have peace in my heart. And you know what he did to me? He said, "You cannot forbid a bird flying through your head, but you surely should forbid a bird to make a nest on your head." That is to say, the enemy will try to throw in many unworthy thoughts, and you take it as if it is yours, and you are troubled by it. But no, if you take a stand, and if you really have given yourself to the Lord, what all these evil thoughts came, you declare, "This is not mine. I don't accept it." That is, you do not like let a bird make a rest on your head. And thank God this delivers me. So, brothers and sisters, there are many lessons we learn as we are progressing in our spiritual life. And this is the burden in my heart today. So, brothers and sisters, I present this very simple principle to all of you. Hopefully, we will all cooperate with the indwelled Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast made every provision for us to grow in Christ. We thank Thee that Thou hast not only saved us, but Thou wilt save us to the uttermost. We thank thee because even in heaven, thou art praying for us incessantly in order to save us to the uttermost. And we thank thee for giving us thy Holy Spirit indwelling us to teach us in all things, that we may be able to be like thee, and to grow up spiritually. Thank thee, Lord, thou art using this as a way of preparing a mansion for us. Whether we should have a big mansion or a small mansion, Lord, it depends on how much we cooperate with the indwelt Holy Spirit. So we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt teach us how to work together with the indwelt Holy Spirit. What a gift thou hast given to us. Lord, especially the young people, we commit them into your hand, that they will learn how to deal with themselves and not just go by themselves, that they all will grow spiritually, even unto the fullness of the stature of Christ, to the praise of thy glory. We ask in thy precious name. Amen.